1-800-444-7777. Again, that number is 1-800-444-1977. Or you can order on our website, alternativeradio.org. Our theme music is performed by the Kronos Quartet from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, and it is coming up to 10 o'clock. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, two groups from Portland's queer music scene, Orcus and Shanty Darling, talk about their music, their process, and their perspectives on life as artists in the queer community. And at 11:30, Art Focus talks to curator Dawson Carr about the Gizi St. John altarpiece on display at the Portland Art Museum. And now, after this announcement, it is Chris Andre, host of Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got four requests for this thing already today. Strutting right with it.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio. At 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM, everywhere. And I promise this, but stop making fun of Mar-a-Lago, and from now on, I promise just to call it what the right-wing punditry enjoys calling it, and that is, of course, the Southern White House, which I still find a troubling shift in the polarity in Washington, D.C., that this would be, it's not a joke. Trump needs to stop tweeting and spend more time behind his desk and less time in a golf cart in Florida. That said, we have an amazing guest today. Robert Alvarez will be joining us. Alvarez is, of course, someone that, if you're following events and are aware that we are in the gravest nuclear danger that we have been in, perhaps since the advent of nuclear weapons, Alvarez is a former senior policy advisor to the U.S. Secretary of Energy and is now that's when we had an actual Secretary of Energy and not a goofball that thinks that Department of Government ought to be abolished. He's now a senior scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies. He also writes a column at the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists. He does speak about the role of scientists in political activity in the nuclear age, and which makes it all the more troubling that even without Trump, Trump completely aside, the Americans' overall knowledge, or basic knowledge of basic science, is alarmingly abysmal. If you ask anyone, and I mean starting at high school students, any rudimentary question that might require some understanding of science, the answers that we receive are really troublesome. People really do not have much understanding, and very often what the understanding that they do have of science is of a fabulous nature. It's not true. It's based on religion and superstition and shadows on the cave wall. That said, I do want to welcome now our guest today, Robert Alvarez. We do have a few other headlines. We have weather to get to, and we're going to put that aside because, after all, wouldn't you rather hear from Robert Alvarez than me? I do have to say that the administration rails against Syria for killing its own citizens with chemicals, Arkansas killed some of its own citizens with chemicals last night and previously this week, and very likely intends on killing as many more as they are able to get away with before their chemicals used by date expires. Don't go rummaging through your fridge looking for wieners that might be over the top. Keep your eyes on Arkansas. See how they handle their chemical weapons. Not to mention the fact that right here in Oregon we have one Winton Shrout who is going to jail for cheating banks and the government while preaching illegal tax avoidance and resistor schemes, much the same as Donald Trump brags about and claims that this makes him a very smart fellow, that he's able to do exactly that and get away with it scot-free, unlike poor old Winston Shrout, who's got himself in a bit of hot water doing the same things as the president. That said, clearing up the Mar-a-Lago golden toilet seat controversy, we want to welcome now Robert Alvarez. Good morning, Robert. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, this is an extraordinary time that we find ourselves living. We have lots of people who deny anything remotely related to science, deny it altogether, starting with climate change, arguably and perhaps second only to nuclear holocaust, the greatest terror that now confronts the world. We should be terrorized by climate change. We created it, and now we're trying to handle it, or not, as the case may be. But right now, the atomic clock, as we call it, is pretty close to midnight. And can you talk a little bit about science right now? And what is the link between the average American's utter and total lack of understanding of science, and perhaps fear of it, and well, sometimes even
I don't necessarily share your view that Americans are in a sweeping.
That is a generalization, but in my experience,
and that I think that what's happening here is more of the force of a political power that is trying to impose its own political agenda on the American people. I do think that there are quite a few and quite a lot of very scientifically literate Americans and that we do have quite a bit of talent in this country in terms of scientific capabilities.
But how do we go about confronting the fact that people seem to be? There used to be like real concern about nuclear energy, and some accident happening, or somebody who was a bit unbalanced with their finger on the trigger. That these things seem to be taken very seriously, and now, as you mentioned, as you're talking about this current administration, perhaps it leaves people with a sense that. That, you know, it's just another weapon in our arsenal, and that President Trump is free to deploy it without any moral qualms. That worries me enormously.
Well, I think that the fact is that there are quite. I mean, there is a tendency in this country largely for an erasure of institutional memory. And we often forget what happened 25, 30 years ago, and we have to constantly remind ourselves of this, and that this is a problem we have to deal with. But I think that the fact that we are poised to, at least in terms of entering into another dangerous stage in terms of a confrontation with North Korea, I think should give people pause about whether or not we, war is advisable. I mean, we technically have been in a state of war with North Korea for 64 years. And we now are, they now have acquired nuclear weapons, which what would not have been the case had not the George W. Bush administration tossed out the first ever government-to-government agreement between the United States and the Democratic People's Republic to freeze their nuclear weapons program, but so be it now. And we've got, the news media in particular has to stop treating this as some sort of reality show TV transaction involving a cartoonish villain. This is serious stuff, and I think we need to look at things like, what is the strategy for ending this long-standing war?
And
most people don't even realize that we are technically at a state of war with this country. And when we enter into these games, so-called exercises, these are intended to wage war against this country. And it's very provocative to do this. And we've got to sort of get beyond this. And to a large extent, the news media is responsible for creating these kinds of paradigms for the public to understand. I mean, we're not just dealing with a pot-bellied crazy guy. We're dealing with a country which we've been at war with for 64 years that has nuclear weapons now, and we can't afford to have another bloodbath on the Korean Peninsula.
Well, that's just it. And are there any... is there a mechanism in this administration for, so to speak, putting the brakes on? It seems that we have a very reactive, thin-skinned president who tends to take pronouncements coming out of North Korea very seriously.
I think at the same time we also have a very reluctant military establishment that is not at all interested in using nuclear weapons. They are not usable weapons, and that I think that there's a difference between bluster and the like. But at this stage, We have to be very careful that we don't make serious mistakes in terms of brinksmanship, because we're dealing with a situation where we just can't afford to continually rattle the saber as a means by which to create any kind of positive change. We need diplomacy, and I think that that is something that's going to have to come about if we're going to change the dynamics, just those which occur between us and the North Korean government.
North Korea, very often an opponent, an adversary, which has nothing to lose, is more dangerous than one that does have a great deal to lose, which, if that is true, and it appears to be, North Korea would be very dangerous. We have now just mere seconds left. How would you like to, what would you, thought would you like to leave with our listeners then?
Well, I think North Korea's primary concern is to preserve its regime. This is why it's doing what it's doing. It wants a non-aggression. It has repeatedly called to enter into an agreement, a peace agreement with the United States, on terms that would allow its regime to continue. And the United States finds that to be untenable, and so we are perpetuating this artifact of the Cold War, which is actually becoming more perilous as we speak.
Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate hearing from you today. A lot of people are talking about this and are concerned. Thanks again. My guest has been Robert Alvarez, and this has been, of course, Air Cascadia 4. Tuesday, April 25th, 2017. Judy Feistel engineered for us today. Thanks, Judy. Derek Crooks is our AM News and Public Affairs Director. Thanks, Derek. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.